critically analyzing global affairs. This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Hello to everyone out there. A quick news roundup. Epoch Times is reporting what we already knew. It says, while there's growing speculation that federal agents and Capitol Police were involved in instigating acts of violence during the January 6th, 2021 protests and recording responses for the purposes of entrapment, evidence now proves that plainclothes members of the Special Electronic Surveillance Unit were embedded among the protesters for the purposes of conducting video surveillance. Evidence also points to a day of security deficiencies and police provocation for the purpose of entrapment. For those of us that have done our hardcore studies of geopolitics, history, deep politics, it's clear that this was a false flag event to create, just like they created Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden in the 80s, who worked with the CIA to create this international boogeyman to justify the global war on terror. They're concocting a domestic boogeyman for the domestic war on terror, and in this way target dissenters and patriots in America. That's really what's going on. This is kind of funny. A Russian tennis player circumvented Wimbledon's ban on Russian athletes by becoming Georgian. She probably had more than one nationality. You see, this is why it's good to have two or three passports, or even an old friend of mine that has four passports. So in this case, she was able to go to Wimbledon, which otherwise for someone who only has one passport, you're kind of SOL, as they say. What's going on with NATO? British paratroopers are being barred from deploying to a NATO exercise in the Balkans, in my other homeland, after videos leaked online of soldiers, British soldiers, having an orgy with a civilian woman in the barracks. Yeah. They say don't mix business with pleasure, right? So, yeah, NATO, what is going on? By the way, one of my semi-regular TNT guests, as well, she guests on Rick Moon's show on TNT, and then mine, Karen Hunt. She was just today permanently suspended from Twitter. The algorithm ghetto never sleeps. And I mentioned yesterday, Lawrence Fox of the Reclaim Party in UK, the bank shut down the Reclaim Party's bank account for no reason. The algorithm ghetto never sleeps. We had in Thailand, a gunman stole necklaces worth 2 million Thai baht from a Bangkok gold shop, attempting to make up for his massive losses in cryptocurrency trading. It's kind of ironic. So that's what happens when you play with fire. Everyone has always said, don't put into crypto what you can't afford to lose. Maybe he should have just bought gold and held on to it and just let it sit there. At least he wouldn't have lost anything. And meanwhile, we've got GB News. I actually stole this from Mike Ryan's Twitter account, I think, on Asia Pacific. He retweeted that Russia has told the UK it will physically cease to exist if World War III were to break out, in retaliation to comments made by British General Sir Patrick Sanders, where he called on soldiers to prepare to fight in Europe. Once again, I think I commented on that earlier this week. Russian Lieutenant General Yevgeny Buzhinsky told local state TV that the UK will vanish as a result of a war. Buzhinsky said, referring to the general, British general, he doesn't understand that as a result of the Third World War, Britain will physically cease to exist. So these are definitely interesting, fun times. I always joke and say, grab the popcorn and drink and enjoy the show. I mean, what else can we do? Some of these things are out of our hands. It's up to our higher ups and our governments to make or not make these decisions. In Pakistan, I guess one more story. A digital dictatorship could be coming. The Pakistan Telecommunication Authority is moving ahead with implementing a policy that will give them complete control over who can see what on the internet. And in getting this control, they might break the internet altogether across the country. So we see these trends all across the world in many different countries, how they're clamping down. And this is TNT Radio.
Russia, gas prices, COVID mandates.
It just doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. It's the Hrvoje Morić on TNT Radio.live. Get the smartphone app from the Play Stores, the Apple Store, if you don't have it already, and subscribe to the TNT channel on Rumble, YouTube, Odyssey, where we're streaming live. I'm joined by Charles Koves. He's got a long bio. I'm going to have to shorten it. You can go to koves.com, K-O-V-E-S-S.com to get into his stuff. But he's established his own law firm, which had subsequently merged with Barker Gosling, a national law firm. Then he turned to business. He's become a successful businessman, team leader, professional speaker, executive coach. He's also an athlete. He's continuously competed in triathlons since 1985 and has completed the Ironman Triathlon. Again, the website is koves.com. He's also on YouTube. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Hrvoje. Lovely to be with you at this moment in time with the geopolitical issues that you raised, that there are indeed major conflicts happening in Budapest as we speak. Because the World Swimming Championships are on there, you see, and every nation is competing against each other as they should do in the swimming pool.
That is a great point. And yeah, we should tell, I mean, who do you think would win if we had, put Biden against Putin and, I mean, he fell off the bike the other day, right? So.
Well, that's right. And the information that I hear from credible sources is that, in fact, that's not Biden, but that is a Biden double who is out there in public. So there you are. This is an interesting thought as well. Maybe the Biden double can't ride a bike, but the real Biden can.
At this point, I will not be surprised at all, given the last 2 years. We officially entered the Twilight Zone in 2020, so anything goes now. And there have been some really weird, I have to admit, really weird close-up photos of Nancy Pelosi, where it literally did look like someone was wearing a mask, but I don't know. But you've got your own show on. Go ahead.
Hey, Hrvoje, that question of Biden versus Putin in a pool, or Putin to a proper Russian pronunciation, that I don't speak Russian. However, there's a famous true story of the founder and CEO of Southwest Airlines in the States, Herb Kelleher, who has now gone to God. And he created one of the best companies in America on the planet. And at one point in time, he was having a major conflict with a business person. And he said, and he was a famous drinker of wild turkey. And he said, listen, let's settle this with an arm wrestle. You know, that they were stuck. They were at a deadlock. So let's have an arm wrestle. And Herb won, but the fact was he was willing to, you know, to put himself as a sought out mechanism. I thought, what a brilliant idea. So you've come up with another one. Let's have a swimming competition.
Yeah, or, a football match or.
That's it. They'll sort this out. Whoever wins the football match wins the war.
Or ping pong, I wanted to ask you. There's a lot we could talk about. Get your thoughts on the war, maybe a bit later, as well as I know you deal with health issues. But first, you know, the whole COVID thing. I like to call it COVID 1984, and I sort of wanted to get the background context. You know, your view on what's transpired over the last 2 years, but what continues to transpire. I just saw a tweet from our favorite WHO director Tedros, the terrorist, he tweeted a week ago that the global outbreak of monkeypox is clearly unusual and concerning. I have decided to convene the emergency committee under the international health regulations on Thursday next week, that's in 2 days, to assess whether this outbreak represents a public health emergency of international concern. I guess if they agree that it is, they'll lock us down again. So what are your thoughts on the whole COVID-1984?
Well, I like your depiction of it as COVID-1984. That is my view. I come from a 20-year successful legal career, then a further 29 years as an educator speaker. But for the last 10 years, I have also been advising as a legal strategist. And so I don't practice as a lawyer. I give consulting advice as a legal strategist, an interface, if you like, between clients and lawyers, because lawyers don't understand clients and clients don't understand lawyers. But secondly, when a lawyer gives a suggestion to the client often doesn't know whether or not to take that advice. Now, lawyer, in the last 10 years, up until the start of COVID-1984, I have spent 8 years advising on legal strategies for parents whose children have been injured by vaccines. And so I came to, when COVID was announced, I could immediately see what was happening here. And I have 5 children, all of whom are basically vaccinated. I've never been anti-vax. However, I'm horrified right around the world of how many vaccines are being pumped into children. And I want your listeners to, and if they're parents, grandparents, to deeply understand this. These two simple numbers. In Australia, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, a child that was born was given 4, maybe 5 vaccines in their first 4 years of life. Today, in Australia, you will not get government support for your baby unless you have the required number of vaccines under the no jab, no pay regime. That number is not 4 or 5 or 6 in the first 4 years of life in Australia. That poor child has to have 43 antigens injected into him or her. 43. And there have been no safety trials on pumping these double, triple, quadruple injections into these beautiful babies that God made in the amazing perfection, and big pharmaceutical companies are pumping this into newborn babies. And Andy Wakefield, Dr. Andy Wakefield, has done a magnificent job pointing out the harm that is being caused globally by these vaccines. And then we come to COVID-1984, and this is a pattern of behavior by big pharmaceutical companies and the shareholders in those big pharmaceutical companies to absolutely pump chemicals into humanity with nefarious intent, not to do with health. And I just urge everybody to understand that their health is their personal responsibility, and most people are going to suffer badly as a consequence of decisions they've made, both on vaccines, but secondly, in relation to taking these COVID-1984 jabs. There you are. Have I explained my position clearly?
Yes, and I would agree with you. You know, yesterday I had on James Roguski, who's a good researcher. He does deep dives into this topic. And yeah, I became a parent, so I also, you know, wanted to research whether or not I should inject my kid with this stuff. And you know, I recall that up in the U.S., because I'm originally from the U.S., up to 1983, if I recall, you would only get 3 shots. And then from 1983 onward, I think it was like 6. And then from 1989 onward, as you mentioned, 40-some doses by you. But in the U.S., it's 72 doses.
Yes, which it's 72. It's 72 in the first up to the age of 18. 72.
Yeah, and this is not nuts. And I really, as you mentioned, Andrew Wakefield, I'm a huge fan of his, and I've read Paul Thomas's book, and he had his medical license recently taken away, but he did a study which, I mean, people should go find it. He clearly demonstrates that there's a huge difference between the children in his practice who were not vaccinated and those that were. And for me, it's like, if I look at that study today as a parent, there's no reason I would want to vaccinate my kid. I mean, it's, the data is clear. Again, it's up to each parent. I think there should be the choice. You do what you think is best. But after looking at this stuff, I'm like, and as you say, after the COVID 1984 stuff, I'm like, I do not trust Big Pharma one bit. What do you think is, there's a lot of speculation, ideas. It's still unclear. We're in the fog. But what, when you say nefarious intent, what are some of your conclusions there?
I am firmly of the view that, number one, the reason why this COVID game is a scam-demic, not a pandemic, the fundamental, and as a lawyer, what a lawyer has to do is to understand what is relevant. And I bring this point to everyone's attention. No government around the world has been willing to have its experts stand up and debate with the experts who oppose the government narrative. Not one. And I want everybody to note that. That's the relevant point. Forget all the science and the medical stuff. Come on, put your experts up against the experts who say this is a nonsense. And they're not doing it, Arroyo. And I think that's a very relevant factor, number one. Number two, why is this a scam? I say it is a scam. It is a scam designed. So what is the intent behind this? This is entirely about control of world population numbers leading to deliberate depopulation. That's the essence of what I believe. That the game plan of the globalist agenda, not globalization, but the globalist agenda, is one world government and reducing the world's population. And I've been following Mike Adams, the health ranger, for over 15 years, like very early days. And he has been saying for 10 years that there is a depopulation agenda. And I've looked at that, and what he has predicted is exactly coming true, including some 3 years ago, he's saying there will be planned food shortages. And so now this Russia-Ukraine conflict is being blamed for food shortages in America and elsewhere. All lies. And so that's my bottom line view. Prior to the depopulation, there is global control. So the whole question of masks and lockdowns is just testing our willingness as humanity to give away our freedom. And just observe in your own heart, not yours, but dear listeners, are you willing to give away your freedom? And I say that is the beginning of the end of humanity when we give away our freedom, because government's strongest sanction against any of us, as we saw now with Dr. Simone Gold, if you upset government, what do? They take away your freedom. That is your most precious human element, and we've given it away through fear. And that's why I do the work I have. I've been putting enormous amount of work in to help educate people that this SARS-CoV-2 virus, any virus, is nothing to be afraid of, that Big Pharma is telling us lies about viruses with that intent to make us controllable.
Yeah, I've also been a fan of Mike Adams, the health ranger in National News, before he was deplatformed. Probably, like, I've been listening to him for over a decade. And yeah, world government is the end game. They're attempting to do that through the WHO and other such IGOs, international governmental organizations. And yeah, I was just talking about this yesterday with James Roguski on TNT, how a new Israeli study came out that said, they studied the semen, the sperm of vaccinated people who took the Pfizer COVID vaccine, and it it declined like 15%, like its concentration. So there you go. Exactly what you said. A scientific study, which proves what you just said, that it's affecting the fertility and population. And I went back to that 2010 TED talk that Bill Gates said. I mean, there's no way to get around it. He literally said, you can read the transcript on the TED's own website, where he says, through vaccines, we will reduce the population 10 to 15%. So, yeah, that's all crazy. We're in crazy town now. Twilight Zone.
And there's another issue, Haroya, and that is, we are designed by God, if you don't believe in God, by universe, we are designed as open systems as human beings. We are literally designed as a series. Our bodies are a series of pipes and tubes. Information and viruses and bacteria and food and everything comes in to us and then gets eliminated. We are designed to have these viruses come in to then start injecting this material into arms of people is totally unnatural, just totally unnatural. And you start to think about it, and then the lies that we've been told. So one example of that is the polio question. Everybody says, I had polio as a kid. Thank God for vaccines. And that was the masterstroke, of course, to label these mRNA poison shots as a vaccine, because subconsciously people think vaccines equals safety. And that has been the psychological ploy. But we are acting unnaturally. And that's this with the jabbing of this stuff into us. So that's another important factor in this journey that we're seeing unfold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say health doesn't come from a needle. It's ridiculous to be injecting ourselves with this stuff. We're going to have to go to our first tequila break. Again, you can find Charles Koves at koves.com. That's koves.com. And his show on TNT Radio, which is every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. Brisbane or 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. New York time if you're in the States. And we'll be right back on TNT Radio.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa. Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Affordable housing. We can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
My name is Latoy Adams. I served in the Army. Being with paralyzed veterans of America, they have showed me so much is possible.
I'm Sean Castle, served in the United States Army. I went from laying in a hospital bed dying to being a professional wheelchair basketball player. And it started with that one moment where there's life. I am unstoppable because Paralyzed Veterans of America is by my side.
We are unstoppable.
Learn more at pva.org.
Today's News Talk Radio. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
And we're back on the Hervoya Moritz Show. We've been talking to Charles Koves of koves.com, K-O-V-E-S-S.com, a renaissance man. He's also got his own Saturday TNT Radio show, which you can check out, and you can also go back to the archives and stream and download his talks, but since in the first segment you were talking about, you know, COVID-1984, this scamdemic, world government, and all of this stuff, and I'm finding that more and more people like yourself, like myself, are coming to this same conclusion. We're realizing, you know, it's a scamdemic, it's a medical technocracy, it's all about global governance. And are you positive on this note? You see more people waking up?
I love Havoya, the comment of Bobby Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who wrote that wonderful book, The Real Anthony Fauci. He said, and I observe this, I know a lot of people all around the world, and he said, nobody is leaving the non-government narrative to join the government narrative. All movement is from the government narrative to away from the government narrative. All movement. And I observe the lack of desire in Australia where I live. My parents were Hungarian refugees in 1949. I observe the increasing reluctance to have these boosters. And I observe the incredible, how shall I say, hypnosis of many highly educated people. And I am exceedingly confident. In fact, this morning I moderated a global meeting with Dr. Richard Fleming as the key speaker. And he says, and I've been saying this for the last 2 years, that tyranny that we are undergoing at the moment, dictatorship that we're undertaking, that we're experiencing, the lockdowns, the anti-freedom, always loses. And I'm confident that in this case, tyranny will lose. I am confident in the words of Senator Malcolm Roberts, who in the Australian Senate, who said to the Senate in March of this year, addressing the Senate, but referring to Big Pharma, but also the decision makers in the Australian political system, "We know what you've done. We will never forget. We are coming after you." And I am very, very confident that we will be coming after them. We are coming after them. I'm involved in a number of legal strategies and matters, and I am confident that humanity will win.
I love your optimism, and I also love Senator Roberts. I interviewed him last year before I had my own TNT show on my Geopolitics and Empire podcast, which YouTube immediately took down our talk, but we
congratulations.
Yeah,
it's a badge of office.
It definitely is. Yeah, but anyways, it's on all the other podcast platforms and video platforms. But that's good news. This optimism and this pushback, but still, to get your thoughts on some of the other threats before us related to this medical technocracy or biosecurity state. We've seen the response, you know, the lockdowns, the digital passports for population control. And again, I'm always hitting on that point. That's one of the things that freaks me out the most, is this digital passport, which is the social credit system, which, if ever put into place, you know, in conjunction with the cashless society, all governments now are going for CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. Here in Mexico, the US, Canada, you name it, that's coming. But this system, if put into place, is basically like the system described of in the Bible, in Revelation, where you can't buy or sell. You know, I always mentioned a month ago, I was banned for life from PayPal, thanks to the Department of Homeland Security. The same week they created their disinformation governance board, a few of us, including myself, got banned from PayPal, which I've at times used to pay my bills, utility bills, as well as receive donations for my podcast. So I can't effectively buy or sell because I committed a thought crime. But your thoughts on this medical technocracy that's still threatening us? You know, Senator Roberts talks about the digital ID. Alexander Marshall, who I've also interviewed, talks about it, especially in Australia. They're trying to advance it. What are your thoughts there?
Yes, I consider that a serious threat. I look on this whole game that we're undertaking as our World War III, and I consider there are 12 battlefronts. And so one of them is the scientific medical debate, but that's only one of them. The other one, another one is the social credit system that you talk about. Another one is the banking financial system. That's a battlefront. And in any world war, there's always a series of battlefronts, and we can't just focus on the science and the medicine. So I'm covering all 12 of them, and three of them we've already talked about. So it's a serious, serious risk. So these battlefronts include a spiritual war, and Jesse Romero articulates that beautifully. I've been saying this for a long time, that this is not just a money war. This is evil versus good. So we also have to look at that spiritual game. Now, there is also the American Constitution, the Australian Constitution, the Constitution of each country. So re-establishing the constitutional framework for how successful countries have been created. And that failure to observe those constitutional rules is a battlefront, and re-establishing that. Another battlefront is the legal battlefront. So running cases to make sure that the laws of each country are observed. And in America and in Australia and Canada, our laws, our constitutions are being trashed. So then it's up to lawyers. Now, guess what the problem is with lawyers? The best lawyers are retained by government. And this is where we need, the average person on the street needs to understand that it's up to us. We cannot rely on existing systems. And the question of digital passport, digital currency, I say to everybody, use cash. Get cash. And my prediction is this. There will be, and this is very relevant, we get a chance to talk about it, we should, in relation to industrial hemp. There will be alternative economies established. And I say to you, I have no fear that government says you can only use digital currency. I would say get stuffed. I'm telling you, there will be local communities with local economies, and the barter system will be reestablished in a big, big way, which of course is what Bitcoin, which the digital currencies that have been established, an alternative way of measuring. And I urge everybody to reject the digital passport. I urge people to stop flying. Do not buy into the system. And one of the crucial aspects to understand is that each one of us who refuses to participate speeds up the success rate of humanity. Each one of us that complies because it's convenient, we are, as the word says, we are complicit in these dictatorial plans. Do not comply. There's a wonderful website I bring to your attention. We are human, we are free.org. We are human, we are free. And it's a wonderful 8-step process for what you have to do. And one of them is use cash. Secondly, stop giving your business to big business. Support small local business. And that's my answer to that question of, hey, we're going to be stuffed because we'll have to comply with the CBDC framework. No, you don't.
Yeah, that's been a common theme on my TNT show as well as my Geopolitics and Empire podcast. I always ask my guests at the end, you know, what do we do? And a lot of people are fleeing here to Mexico, where I am. A lot of people are leaving the urban areas in their countries and heading for the running for the hills, as Iron Maiden, you know, Bruce Dickinson used to sing. As you said, parallel structures, Bitcoin, barter, decentralizing. Yesterday, I interviewed on TNT Pastor Henry Hildebrandt, who got into trouble in Canada. They've tried to shut down his church, and he keeps talking about as well exiting the system. Well, let's talk about the cannabis and how hemp. I know you work in that. I was going to ask you, you know, some tips as because you're an athlete as well. You know, on staying mentally healthy and as well as physically healthy. Because I mean, I even have to admit, the last 2 years, even though I knew what was going on, it's still very stressful having to witness this tyranny, and like in slow motion, you can't do anything about it. And that was, for me, the first year stressful until I finally found some piece, but you know, what can you tell us about cannabis and hemp? I know in the U.S. they've made it illegal now, and even here in Mexico, they're sort of kind of like decriminalizing it. So, I mean, cannabis and hemp. I know in the U.S. they've made it illegal now, and even here in Mexico, they're sort of kind of like decriminalizing it. So, I mean, we'll talk about marijuana, but your thoughts there.
Well, even the word marijuana that you mentioned in that last sentence comes from the Mexican town of marijuana, and that's where the Americans in 1930 demonized cannabis. Now, I am CEO of an industrial hemp company, and hemp is cannabis, and there are 150 different varieties of cannabis seeds, and cannabis contains 150 separate cannabinoids, one of which is THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, which is what gets you high. All the other 149 cannabinoids do not, including cannabidiol, CBD. This plant is a magnificent God-given plant that has 10 broad categories of uses. And when I run through this, Havoya, you will be going, wow. And I say, as I'm about to run through this 10 just quickly, that any community in Mexico that grows hemp could literally shut itself off from the rest of the world. If it had water and hemp, it would thrive. The 10 categories from hemp, from the one plant, you can get food, clothing, shelter, medicine, fuel, ethanol, fertilizer, composite products, replacing fiberglass, body care products, rope, and lastly, packaging products. 10 categories, over 25,000 different products can be made from this magnificent plant. And in 100 days, you put the seed in the ground. In 100 days, for each acre of fiber crop, you will get 4 tons of usable biomass in 100 days. In Mexico, you could do 2 crops. This is gold for the Indian local farmer, for local communities in India. It is a heaven-sent product, and that is why in 1937, the US government defined industrial hemp as marijuana. And in 1930, cannabis was made illegal because Hank Anslinger, the head of prohibition in America, he had all his staff running around imposing prohibition. Then when that was removed, they all lost their jobs. So they said, what are we going to make illegal? And the answer was cannabis. We'll call it marijuana. We'll say the crazy Mexicans take this stuff. And that's how that happened for a plant whose medicinal and health-giving qualities are so amazing. It's been demonized by the system, just like we are being demonized with the threat of COVID and whatever else. This war on drugs is all a strategy for globalist thinkers to get money and power and control. Please, everybody, study cannabis, get access to medicinal cannabis. You don't have to get high on it. And even in Australia, it is now so readily available. It's very exciting. It's opened up enormously on the medicinal side. You do not have to take opioids. You do not have to take painkillers. If you get the right medicinal cannabis, it can, in a healthy way, help you improve your health. It is a wonder, wonder plant.
I guess the comparison, as you said, they want us to take these injections for COVID, where we've had these cheap natural substances, more or less, like ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and many other things people have been talking about, doctors and scientists, over the last few years. And I guess it's the same thing. Big Pharma wants us to take their stuff instead of this, hemp and cannabis we can grow for free in our backyard. Just real quick, again, I'm not well versed on this subject. When you say medicinal cannabis, what does that look like? How do you take it? What's its potency?
Okay, so medicinal cannabis comes from the flowers and the buds of the plant. And if you picture, in terms of hemp, cannabis can grow as a bush or tall like bamboo. So in Mexico, in America, crops grow to 4-5 meters in height. Now, when the flowers and the buds are there, you harvest those flowers and buds through an extraction process. You can produce cannabis oils, and that's what is called medicinal cannabis. And there's all sorts of different formulations that tap into higher or lower concentrations of various cannabinoids, and those concentrations then have different impact on particular diseases. When you are ill at ease, when you are not at peace, then you can buy a whole range of medicinal cannabis products, and then coming back from medicinal, they become nutraceuticals. But what's important to understand, and this is where Big Pharma's trying to get its foot into cannabis as well, there are things called isolates, you know, where pharmaceutical companies come along for a plant that's been around for 8,000-10,000 years. Oh, we're going to rescue you from this plant. We will give you one of the cannabinoids because you can't let God trust you with this plant. This plant, through this wonderful extraction process, can solve so many, many health problems. And so if you picture in your mind is you put this medicinal cannabis oil onto your tongue and it creates magic.
All right. We're going to have to go to our second break. I normally say tequila break. We can now say, you know, maybe medical cannabis break. The Charles Kovess's website is kovess.com. That's K-O-V-E-S-S.com. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
A Biden cabinet official just said that climate change was more important than the clothes on your kid's back. I'm not making this up.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
President Biden's Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo declared the existential threat of climate change more important than putting clothes on your kid's back. Listen.
We believe climate change is an existential threat. So, you know, children won't forget about clothes on their back. They're not going to be able to have a life if we don't deal with climate change.
She actually said that. Forget about the clothes on your kid's back because climate change is an existential threat. Biden's Commerce Secretary made these comments at a U.S. congressional hearing in public. This is the madness of the climate agenda. Just listen to this again and again if you want to understand what is happening to our world. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
How about some good news? There is a cure for hepatitis C. A simple blood test will tell you whether or not you have hepatitis C. More than 9 out of 10 people who receive highly effective treatment are cured and less likely to develop liver cancer or liver complications. One little blood test and you'll have done your part to help eliminate hepatitis C for good. Get tested. Get treated. Get cured. Visit hep.org for more information.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The Black Lives Matter Network, or BLM Network, founded by the three black female activists who created the hashtag Black Lives Matter hashtag, can be differentiated from the BLM movement, a more amorphous collection of racial justice groups. The BLM Network is a structured organization that has 34 chapters. Garza described the network as an online platform that existed to provide activists with a shared set of principles and goals. Local Black Lives Matter chapters are asked to commit to the organization's list of guiding principles, but operate without a central structure or hierarchy. Garza has commented that the network was not interested in policing who is and who is not part of the movement. The Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, one of the main organizations coordinating organizing and mobilization efforts across the Black Lives Matter network, reportedly raised up to $90 million in 2020. Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, Inc. is a global organization in the US, UK, and Canada, whose stated mission is to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene on violence on black communities by the state and vigilantes. The Black Lives Matter movement founders have connections to large radical left organizations. The connection to the left has made the BLM movement rich and influential. Influence Watch estimates that groups associated with the BLM movement have taken in $133 million since 2013. Organizations associated with liberal billionaire George Soros are said to have provided at least $33 million to various BLM movement groups since 2016. In 2015, the fundraising club Democracy Alliance, led by liberal donors like George Soros and Taco Bell heir Rob McKay, recommended its donors to increase contributions to endorsed groups that have supported the Black Lives Matter movement.
If you want the jibby jab,
all right, enough.
Then you've come to the wrong station. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're on the final stretch with Charles Koves of Koves.com, K-O-V-E-S-S.com. He's got a YouTube channel you can follow as well, and his own TNT radio show every Saturday, which you can find on TNTradio.live. And since we've been talking about herbs and cannabis and natural health and healing, I want to get your thoughts. Something that I've been following for a long time, you know, is Codex Alimentarius. You know, the UN is trying to sort of outlaw vitamins and supplements and natural health. And even here in Mexico now, they've got their fingers here. And there's also been talk and attempts to declare illegal, like Mexicans, you know, especially the indigenous people, the people in the rural areas. Like, they want to outlaw certain plants or herbs and supplements. It's just absolutely nuts. What are your thoughts on this power grab?
Yes, well, I would agree with you. It's absolutely nuts. And that's why one of the unintended benefits of the scamdemic, of the COVID-1984 scamdemic, is the awareness of many, many more people, certainly not a majority yet, of this madness that's undertaken by government in the name of protecting us, when in fact they are enslaving us, they are disabling us by taking away our health. And I urge everybody to push back. Again, we are human, we are free.org. I'm a supporter of that organization. Do not comply when they try to shut that down. You see, the government only has a tiny number of people who do its enforcement. If humanity rises against government, government loses every time. And that's why I say local communities with local economies literally can build a wall around them and keep government out. And the more of us that push back, the less government is going to do these crazy actions. And you know, one of the games of the globalists of the last 30, 40, 50 years has been dumbing down our education, Havoy. And this is part of the problem, where people are unable to do their own thinking. And so not only are our logic skills hurt, not only are our spiritual resources taken away by the attack on spirituality, on religion in government schools in Australia, in the US, so I follow the US situation closely, but because we're getting less and less healthy food, many people suffer from brain fog, so they can't even mentally cope with these questions. That's why people have to come and listen to TNT radio to get the truth, to go, wow, yes, I will find sources of herbs, because government cannot control every single farm. And this is why hemp is important, because I see local farmers with small family farms producing hemp, and that's going to guarantee our freedom. Because just imagine if everybody moved off the land, everybody moved into the city, it's major corporations running farming, we would be captive to government. And I say that's government plan. My plan is to support, maintain, encourage sustainable, profitable, successful family farms where families and communities can create magnificent lives, including the use of herbs.
You mentioned education and something I wanted to ask you about. I saw a recent tweet by Zuby, this famous British rapper, and he tweeted, quote, "If you are capable of greatness, then I don't believe in settling for mediocrity. Wasted potential is a terrible thing. I also think it's unethical because you deprive yourself and everyone around you of a lot of possible good," end quote. And actually, for the past decade plus, this has been on my mind, especially in the places where I used to work as an educator, teacher, professor. I would get angry because I was always pushing myself to the limit as a teacher. I would bring in amazing guests on Skype to talk with my students. I would do gamification and spend extra time that I didn't need to get better at what I was doing. And I would see a lot of people that just settled for mediocrity. They would just go do their job, give their class, and go home. They weren't interested in these subjects, and they didn't have passion. And I think that's something you talk about, being a passion provocateur. And I was angry that my colleagues, coworkers, were not using their full potential. And I think it also goes to what you were talking about in this scandemic, having this attitude to think outside the box and to say no, to not comply, because that's that attitude where the people just comply. I go to my job, do my 9 to 5 and go home. I'm just complying. I'm not thinking outside the box. And so any thoughts on this or being a passion provocateur?
Yes, well, my first book published by Hay House is Passionate People Produce. It's up to edition number 4. And I explore this question of education and the ability to think. I love that line. That's your choice. Do you want mediocrity or greatness? And since World War II, I have reliable friends who tell me that the Nazis never formally surrendered at the end of World War II, that this process since World War II has continued, the eugenics movement, that it has become apparent that poor education is a key strategy to producing mediocre people. And that is a beautiful model, mediocrity versus greatness. Now, here's the problem. To be great, no one becomes great without hard work and discipline. And since the war, the big lie, and I call this the big lie, that the good life, this is the big lie, that the good life is the easy life. That if you have any hardship or difficulties or worries or pressures, that's bad. This whole issue of people drugging themselves because life's too hard. This is the illusion that is sold in all advertising. If life is hard, then you're doing something wrong. I say, if life is hard, you are learning. And I say that when you are pursuing your passion, you will always have the energy to face whatever God, whatever the universe puts before you. That's how the universe works. And to have this idea, just imagine if every one of us was given $1 million a year to sit back and do nothing. We would literally would turn into a vegetative state. We would have massive dementia, Alzheimer's. We would be totally incapable, incompetent. It is embracing the challenge of life that gives us the joy of life and turns us into great human beings. Never choose mediocrity. Never choose the easy way. All we're doing is ripping ourselves off. That's so push back against the big lie. And that's what I've been doing for 29 years.
Really good stuff. And we just got a couple minutes left. We didn't get time to get into it more deeper, but I think you alluded to Ukraine. If you had got any quick takeaways there, I mean, people talk about World War III scenario. Others talk about just the prolonged war that's destroying Europe's economy, which is very Great Reset-like. But do you think we could be in a World War III scenario, or they're just doing this for Great Reset purposes to basically wipe out the middle class in Europe? And any thoughts on where Ukraine might end up?
I'm very excited by what Ukraine is showing. I think that the U.S. infiltration of the Ukraine since 1991 is most instructive. I consider that what's actually happening below the surface is a removal of certain evil forces that is above the surface. We're seeing Ukraine, Russia. Below the surface, there's some evil forces that are being wiped out. That's what I see. That's also another reason why I'm very optimistic. I do not think we will get to World War III. And I think we're going to, I think that making the assumption, buying into the mainstream media narrative around Ukraine and Russia, that is found to be a fraudulent one, just like it is about COVID 1984. So that's why if mainstream media says we're heading to World War III, I know that's not what's going to happen. That's my position. Now, one other thought that's a very powerful idea, and I learned this from Buckminster Fuller, awarded 47 honorary doctorates before he died in 1983. And he said this, Havoy, you and me as human beings and everyone listening to this show, that our reward for solving our problems is not peace or happiness or joy. Our reward for solving problems is bigger problems. And I want each one of you listening to embrace this idea that we deserve our problems, that that's the only way we grow. If you look to avoid problems, your life will be miserable. So love your problems because you deserve them.
All right. It's been a great hour. The website is koves.com, koves.com, and find Charles every Saturday on TNT Radio. And we've got the news break coming up. We'll be talking to Pasta Jardula. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Herboy. Great to be with you. Well done.
All right. Keep listening here on TNT Radio.